Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFA Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, I join us for a podcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. If you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And if you want to follow me on the Twitters, my podcast account there is sfuoncall, where I announce this lovely podcast. And that's sfuoncall. Also, I have my personal account called Paul Franz, which is at twitter.com/PaulFranz. So that's PaulFranz. And of course, I have my Franz Games account for announcing all kinds of fun things for my gaming company. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. This past week was a critical week for Operation 5 Easy Pieces, a plan to release 5 products during the summer for ADB. On Monday, Gene worked on GURPS Prime Directive revision. Steve Cole was busy working on the BBS reduction, and Steve Petrick was busy working on the Grandmaster Starship book. Tuesday, the two Steves finished the art for the Grandmaster Starship book, while Gene continued to work on GURPS Prime Directive revision. On Wednesday, Mr. Petrick and Gene finished the fixes on the Grandmaster Starship book. And Steve Cole worked on the Merchants of the Federation. Yay! On Thursday, Steve Petrick finished up the Grandmaster Starship book, which was uploaded and made available for those lovely sites, which are the big three: Warehouse 23 and War Game Vault, and there's one other one that I can't remember off the top of my head, and please forgive me. And then on Friday, two thieves resolved 23 contradictions in the Starfleet Universe background to clear the way for Ryan Opal's Starfleet Index, while the Grandmaster Starship appeared on the PDF stores. Saturday, Steve Cole is busy working on the Merchants of the Federation. Again, yay, yay. And Steve Cole worked on the Tholian Master Starship book, while Gene continued to work on the GURPS Prime Directive revision, which is going to be awesome when it finally comes out. Moving onward to the SFB Online tournaments, we have quite, the first round is complete, and second round got quite a few games already playing. I don't see any ones that have been completed for round two, but that soon will be that shall resolve itself. Moving forward, when it comes to SFU Online client, multiple tractor beam enhancement is working. I still need to finish up some minor things when it comes to that this week, because of it will do everything for if you do it in the proper order. But I have to have it so that it looks for more than just the last two ships. The one that you're connected to, the one you are connecting from, the one you're connecting to. I have to go through it, go get all the connected ships, and then reset the speeds for all of those ships, and also confirm that I have read the rule correctly and implemented it correctly. Moving onward to the library report, Frank was busy working on some more conversions, which again aren't quite complete because he forgot the counters, and I'm trying not to work on getting those things done for him. I want him to be able to do them himself, so that we don't end up in the same situation where Frank doesn't get most of it done, but I still have to go and fix things. that's not the reason why we did what we did. So things still are stayed at percentage complete at 74.5%. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to the Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we've got Drew Klenotic. Oh, how are you doing, Drew? We've got Dave. I'm wondering if we have, if Russ is hanging around or he's sleeping today. And of course we have with us Barry. How you doing, Barry?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful.
Great.
I am doing wonderful.
Great. Yeah, I'm trying to stream on YouTube, and that's just not working at the moment using OBS. So I'm not OBS or ODS? OBS, yeah, I had it right. It's not working tonight. I'm not sure why. I'll try to figure that out later. I totally forgot that they were canceling Hangouts for YouTube as of today. And their quick way of doing it is webcam. Well, webcam requires that you have a webcam for it to work. And guess what? I don't have a webcam. At least not on this machine. And mostly I don't want to record what my face. It's more interesting to see what's on my screen than what's on my face. In some cases, you don't want to see my face because you'll see how tired I am. But this evening we were gonna talk about the Hivers. I was not.
I
announced a generic topic of just Omega ships because I wasn't sure, Barry, if you're gonna make it or not.
I made it.
Oh, understood. You know, as you hadn't emailed me anything as prep, you know, for it, so I was like, okay.
I'm sorry, I completely spaced this one out, and all of a sudden my alarm went off because I have a weekly alarm set off. It's like, oops.
Oh snap.
Oh snap.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. We'll go from there.
Yeah. All right. So I am quickly reviewing some of the stuff.
One thing when it comes to the tournament ship, did you actually have one of the tournament, any of the Hiver fighters with the Hiver or not?
Yes, I did. Okay. Well, the Hiver ship without its fighters is not going to be viable.
Okay.
At all.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Because that's one thing I definitely was reading up about, which was the Hiver fighters, which are one of those really interesting fighters. Because
yes, they are.
Because of they actually produce energy, but they don't have an energy allocation form. Per se.
Yeah, actually, they should. Hang on a second. Let me look for. I'm just checking one thing here. I'm looking for them in the annexes.
Because I was reading through that. Okay, where is it? Oh, come on. Oh, there it is. Okay. Let's just do this and grab this. It goes next door. Okay. Yeah, because, you know, the interesting part is that on the discussion board, Steve Cole just, you know, started up module J3 on the discussion board.
Okay.
And one of the things he said it was an automatic, in the auto reject file, fighters with shields. And what do Hiver fighters have? Shields.
Yes, they do. Not much shields, but they do have shields.
Right. Oh, agreed.
And only if they raise them, which it actually takes quite a bit from...
Yeah, I forgot. That's one thing. Did not look at the SSD, so I don't know how much power that a normal Hiver fighter has.
5 points for the Sting 2. Ah, here we go. So the Hiver.
Okay,
let's see, I'm in the Master Fighter.
Okay, the Standard Fighter, the first cycle, Barb 1, B1, possesses 4 energy points.
Yeah. Right, and the Barb 2 has 5 energy points.
That's what I didn't check. I'm not quite sure about it, because I know that normally a head for a fighter is free. But with a Hiver,
yes,
you can allocate.
Can pay. Yes, it can. Some of it's allocated, some of it's like reserve power. So the Barb 2 has can use a point of power.
Right.
For a second hat.
Right, right. I see that now. Where it mentions that, you know, a fighter can use 1 point of energy to make an additional hit above and beyond the free hit normally allowed fighters, J4.12.
Yes.
And this cannot be done within a quarter turn of another hit. And, of course, cripple fighters can't
hit.
Big surprise.
Right. Right. Now, the Barb Fighter doesn't have the punch of a Hydran Stinger 2.
Right.
But what it does have is more range, and it is tougher. So it has 2 PW3s, and wide-angle phasers are they're not quite as powerful as a P3,
mm-hmm.
and it only has 2 compared to the Gatling of the Stinger 2. And it only has 1 Sting torpedo instead of 2 fusion beams. But it can fire that Sting torpedo as an overload, but that's real difficult to get it to use. So it's not going to hit as hard as a Sting 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it has a shield if you use a point of power for that, and it's basically 1 point of reinforcement is what one of them works out to. But the Barb 2 can take 14 points of damage to kill it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot tougher than a Sting 2, and you have 3 of them.
Oh.
Yes. But the ship itself is very fragile. And it's not heavily armed. It has 4 PW1s, 4 PW3s, and 4 Sting torpedoes, which... Sting torpedo, in some ways, is probably slightly better than a disruptor.
Hmm.
But it's marginally better than a disruptor, in my opinion. But it, as I said, the ship has 4 P1s, 4 P3s, and they're weaker phasers than Alpha, and 4 of the Sting torps, but the inside of the ship, it's tiny. It's almost the same number of boxes as an Andro.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
there's not much inside. Yeah. Look at how thin that ship is. There ain't much to it.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I forgot to put on the ship is that it only takes a half a point for life support.
Oh, but, okay.
1 point to raise your shields, a half point for life support, turn mode A. Your het chances are basically your het roll is a 6. So it's every bit as maneuverable as an Orion.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Probably has around the same amount of boxes sound, from the sounds of it.
And maybe even a little less.
Yeah,
there's not much to it.
Okay.
There's not much there. What's that?
Geez. Yeah. Geez. Got 9 hull boxes. Has four shuttles and four fighters.
Three fighters.
Three fighters. What's the movement cost on this sucker?
Two-thirds? Yeah.
You sure about that?
What's that?
Are you sure about
might
that?
Might be a half. Well, the one I... which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at the one that's part of the client right. at the moment, which has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 14... Total 16 warp power, 6 APRs, and 4 impulse. Which I'm assuming that means it's 1/2 movement cost.
19, 20. Movement cost is 2/3. Is that correct? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, 22 power. And 2/3 movement cost. So, but it has a lot of APR and app. And
okay. No, actually, the one I'm looking at says it has a movement cost of 0.5.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it says notes on okay. Hiver CA. Movement cost is 0.5. Shield cost is 1/2 + 1/2. Breakdown rating of 6. Has launched.
Maybe
two,
I'm looking.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm looking at the battle cruiser. Hang on. There was a TBC and a TC.
Yeah, because that's one thing I did read, which was
okay,
basically
yeah.
a lot of the ships are
yeah,
they're smaller basically.
Yes,
for the
yes.
same size
okay,
class.
So the CA on the client is a CA only has 3 Sting torpedoes. And that one was a bit light.
Mm-hmm. I can believe that.
That one had it had 4 of the barbed fighters.
Right.
And I went to a battle cruiser version, which I created, but I guess I didn't. Is there a battle cruiser on the client?
That's an excellent question. Let me see if I have any hivers. I don't remember. Yep, there's Hiver and yeah, Battlecruiser. Right there.
I do up. Have it.
Okay, and
so the bat.
Yep, I see that one. Which?
Okay, the Battlecruiser. You get an extra Sting torpedo. 2 of the PW3s are not 360, but they are slightly worse arcs. So you gain 1 Sting torpedo, you gain a little bit of power, you gain a little bit of internals. It's more expensive to move, and you lose a barb 2 fighter. But I don't know that we really played. I know we tried the CA, and that was just too fragile. Barb 2 fighters are interesting, and I had a long back and forth with Steve Petrick about that Barb fighter and its power because of the way the rules were written.
Mm-hmm.
This was about 10 years ago that we had this discussion.
yeah, I know. I know.
Maybe 15 years ago. But you basically what happens is that you can use the power to increase the max possible speed of the fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't... The acceleration is not based on that max speed. It's it, it was a, it, it, it I read the rules really carefully and said, Steve, is this what you really meant? He's like, well, that's, you know, because the way I'm reading the rules, if you interpret them exactly, this is what you're saying. He said, nope, rules are what the rules are. It's like, okay. So you've got this ship that if you put all that power into it, into movement, it can move 30. But you only have an Excel of 7. So it takes So if you slow down, you can't accelerate back up.
Right.
And the problem with the barb is that it has to power its weapons.
Right.
So each PW3 shot takes a half a point of power. The Sting torpedoes take 2. It can be held for 1, or it can overload, although the barb tube cannot hold an overload. But if it takes 4 points of power for an overload, and you only have 5 total.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm reading this, and it says, unless specifically noted otherwise in their description, fighters may not overload Sting torpedoes.
Yeah, but the barb 2, it does say in the description that can overload it.
Okay.
Yeah. The barb 2 is the only one that can.
Dang.
And, yeah. Well, okay, but it only has one of them compared to, like, a Stinger, which has 2 fusions.
Right.
And the Sting torpedo is not as powerful. Even an overloaded Sting torpedo is not as powerful as a fusion beam.
Mm-hmm.
At point blank. And the Stinger 2 has 2 fusion beams. This only has 1. And if you fire an overloaded Sting torpedo out of this thing, and both your PW3s, you're doing less damage than a Stinger 2, and you're sucking on trying to get it rearmed.
Mm-hmm.
Now the only good thing is that it's because it doesn't do as much damage, and it takes a lot more damage to kill it, and there's more of them, there's 3 instead of 2, they're more likely to actually get into range, and the Stingers, the Sting torpedoes have a better range, mm-hmm. and PW3s actually have a better range than, so that's more of a standoff fighter. You know, it's not like a Sting 2 that has to close to point blank where, yeah, it's going to do damage, but it's going to die.
Right.
This one is designed to actually survive a little bit.
Right, Mario, and of course, actually, it's a weird one. Because of it basically is a mixture of fighter and a PF into a single unit. It's got weapons that it can recharge, that it can rearm, unlike like with the Hydrant fighters, where you've got so many charges that you have on the ship. After you use up those charges, they're gone. You have to go back to the ship to recharge them.
For the heavy weapons, but not for the phasers. The phasers, it can fire every turn.
Right.
Yeah.
And Lord knows for the fusion fighters, getting close in, just keeping them close in with those phaser Gs. Ouch.
Oh, yeah. If you can get a pair of Sting 2s to range 0 of any other ship, they can trash it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen that one picture of, I forgot how many.
The D7?
No. Yeah, D7. Yeah. The fighters against the D7. It was kind of an advertisement of telling, you know, the Klingon commanders, you know, when they say attack, tend to disagree and go the other way. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ignore the fighters. They will mess you up.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. And that's why most people, when they see the Hydrant fighters, they kill them immediately. And of course, for the Hivers, those fighters are kind of critical when it comes to the number of weapons, because without them, you only have what? A quarter of the weapons?
You have four Sting torpedoes, which can do more damage than a disruptor slightly.
Right.
You double overload it, but you don't have the power to double overload them. I mean, you might be able to double overload one or two, but you can't do it to all of them.
Right.
You know, the double overload takes 7 points of power to fire.
Dang, God, man. And given given the Hiver ships
it doesn't have that kind of power.
Yes, exactly. To me, but what it screams is that when you lose a Sting torpedo, don't repair it. You know, just take the additional power and instead of having two overloaded,
load one of the others.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So that is a nice thing about the Sting torpedo, is that you can do that. It is less efficient in double overload mode, and it has a max range of four.
Yeah, and that could actually make a big difference, because ships you don't want to come within range four.
Right, but that ship is not going to be hitting very hard, and it can even fresh it at range one. It's going to get through somebody's shield and do a few internals.
Right. Which means that that's not what you want to do. Dang on it, man. That makes...
Well, you let the fighters lead you in.
Right.
And now the guy has a choice. You know, I can fire at the fighters or I can fire at the ship. And it's actually a valid choice. It's not like, I better not ignore those fighters. You could ignore those fighters and survive. But, I don't know. One thing I'll say about battles with Hivers is they are not going to be long battles.
Why wouldn't they be long battles?
Well, the ship is very delicate, and once the fighters are gone, it has nothing.
Oh, agreed. But in my mind, for the Hiver to win, it basically has to fly almost to a certain degree like the Andromedans, in that punch and run. Because you don't have the internals to effectively, the amount of damage that the ship can make is not that big. It really can't hit that hard. Yeah. So that means you have to hit and run, and you do your best to try to keep out of your opponent's effective range, really keep out, because you don't have much ship to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
So
that means
a longer battle is to your advantage.
Well, yes and no, because if you hit and run, the fighters can't run with you. They're not that fast.
What's their speeds?
14 base.
Okay. Which is not bad.
But if you arm their weapons, you know, you might use a point or two of power for increasing your speed. Now all of a sudden you've got, if you use 2 points of power for speed increase, you've got a max speed of 22, which is that's reasonable. It can sort of keep up with a ship.
Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately,
of course.
Yeah, the first of this, the Sting torpedoes are single turn arming weapons.
You'd like a disruptor, and they can be held, which is nice.
Agreed.
And the overloads can be held, which is nice.
Yeah, it definitely. It helps things when the tactical situation doesn't go your way. You don't have to be terribly concerned about, okay, now you just wasted all that power. And you have to go.
Yeah, that's why I said it's a little better than a disruptor, because you can hold it.
Right, because you have that flexibility then.
Yeah. But so it's a little more flexible than a disruptor. But of course, that ship is going to probably have a lot of trouble against the plasma arm ship, because that's one of those circumstances where a shotgun plasma would be deadly.
Yeah. Agreed. The B2 has what? One phaser? Or no, you said two phasers, right? Two phaser threes.
Two PW threes, and they're FX.
Yeah, so it has to try to run as quickly as possible, which is not that fast.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they would die pretty quickly. But fortunately, the Omega Octant doesn't have those kind of torpedoes.
What do you mean it doesn't have plasmas?
No, I didn't say it doesn't have shotguns.
Oh, yeah, there are no shotguns. That's true.
Closest thing is, what was it, the warps? The fairies, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
They can create the plasma Ks, I think it is, the 10-point torps.
No, you're thinking of the Alundas.
The Alundas, okay, Alundas.
They have a 5-point torpedo.
Yeah. Yeah, the Alundas is the one that had the very flexible weapons, right?
Yeah, it's a single turn arming weapon. It's got a 360 firing arc, and it's a 5-point plasma.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. To me, this looks like it's a tough fight for the Hiver.
Oh, yeah. I never properly balanced it, so I suspect the ship is a little on the light side.
Yeah, and it's one of those ones that I think you really have to play a lot, in my mind.
Yeah.
Just because of... Just mainly because of it's like, as I said, you know, like an Andromeda or an Orion, in that after you get past the shield, there's not much ship there afterwards.
No, there isn't.
Which
it's
means
delicate.
Right. It's a very delicate ship, which means that you have to figure out how the way of causing much damage to your opponent and
survive.
And surviving, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Man, I'm looking at the battle cruiser, and that's not exactly the most fun arcs when it comes to the torpedoes. Because you got two in the FA, and then you have one LFL and one RFR. So unless you actually centerline them, you can't get all four torps in arc. Though, obviously...
You can double overload.
Right. But then, of course, there's the LFR and LFL and RFR. You can fire off to the sides, which can be helpful. Especially if you maybe for those, you might do like a double overload.
Right. Sorry, I'm a little distracted here. I'm looking for something that I thought I had here. I have a medication that I'm looking for. It's time for me to take it. It's one of these weird ones that you take every day for 7 days, but you only do that once, but you only take it for 1 week a month.
Right. You told me about that, which is, in my mind, an interesting medication.
Yeah. But it's time to start taking the first one for it's August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Time to start taking it again.
I understood.
And I thought I had brought it out to Cincinnati with me, and I can't find the pill bottle.
That's not good. Okay, the white owl.
Hang on.
I'm looking at the white owl angle phasers at the moment. Huh. They remind me more. Phaser ones remind me more of the phaser to a certain degree. Just because of the distribution. It's pretty flat.
Say that last part again.
The distribution is pretty flat. Like range zero for a wide angle phaser one, it's 776655. Obviously, it averages a six, but you don't know. It really doesn't go very high or very low.
Yes, the wide angle phasers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not my medicine.
They're pretty consistent. And like for the phaser threes, range zero, it's an auto kill. Well, sorry, not auto kill, automatic 4 points. Unless of course there's EW and whatever. And range one, it's 4-4-4, 3-3-3. And for range two, 3-3-3, 2-2-2. Range three. 2-2-2, 1-1-1. And range 4, 2-2, 1-1-0. 0-0. So again, that's the distribution is pretty darn even. It's not very high, not very low. You know.
Well, that's the wide angle phasers for you. It does on average less damage than a standard phaser.
Right.
But if you insist on rolling only sixes, you're going to do better. But if you're rolling statistically average, you're going to do a little worse.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically it looks like, in my mind, the Hiver's, its optimum range is range four.
Yes.
Because it just got into the new bracket. And that increases the damage. And, of course, then there's the double overloads.
Yes.
So, yeah, the maximum amount of damage possible is range four.
Right. Yeah, that ship can actually kick ass at range four.
Yeah, but that's always...
Well, not really.
Right.
Not really. I mean, 14-1 is not much.
Mm-hmm. The question is, of course, is are the fighters a good deterrent? Because we all know...
What's that? Are the
Hiver fighters a good deterrent? Because what is the one thing that normally it becomes an issue for people, that is, you have a ship that's only direct fire weapons. You have no tertiary weapon. You have nothing to distract your opponent. You know,
right? Distract your weapons, yeah.
Right, distract your weapons, and like with the Hydran fighters, that will distract you. Because if you don't pay attention to them, you're in trouble.
Yes.
And that's what I was thinking about the Hiver fighters and whether they're powerful enough to be a distraction?
Well, yes and no. They're more of a sandpaper. Okay, let's say that I have an alpha strike against you, and you ignore the fighters. And you, okay, now my ship is crippled, but you've taken quite a bit of damage between the fighters and the ship. You've probably taken more damage than you would from, say, a Klingon. Because you did have three fighters unload on you. But now the Hiver is crippled, and the other guy is hurt.
Hmm.
Okay. Or maybe even, more than hurt. But problem is that you've got three undamaged fighters that are now going to unload on you again.
Right.
And they're maneuverable enough that they might be able to get on the down shield and hit you again.
Right. And you have to have a good amount of speed to actually chase them versus, like a normal shuttle whose max speed is speed 6.
Right. Well, these are fast. So
right.
If you ignore the fighters and give them a second shot at you, it can start to add up.
Right. Yeah, and actually, that's one thing I was just thinking about, given that you gave them launch tubes, which all it means is that you have to, before your attack run, you have to make sure, one, you're not going too fast. Because... I understand. You can do the old follow-up attack afterwards, but the difficult part about that, normally, in my mind anyway, is that to do that, you leave yourself open to the possibility that your enemy will have the fighters hit a different shield.
Yeah, except for the fact that if you're going to try to do that, there is a possibility of splitting the fighters up so you can't keep them. So one of them is going to get a down shield.
Right. Right. And obviously, if you're going faster than speed 14, you can, in theory, do what the Hydran fusion fighters, which is tractor them and drag them along.
You could do that, yes. Of course, you only have two tractors and there's three fighters.
Right. That's why, the whole, and that, when you split them up, that makes a lot more sense.
Right. Yeah. That's probably a very good tactic because they need the power for arming their weapons, not for moving. So. Yeah, I'm wondering whether I should have given that ship a third tractor just because. I know it's not, people say, oh my God, you can't have a third tractor on a tournament ship, but that one's kind of begging for it.
Understood. Barry, as we've mentioned multiple times, which is you have to try it out. See how it goes with two. And because in theory, what you could actually do is don't launch them all, only launch two. Use them basically for additional firepower when you get to range 4. And then let them go, because you have to let them. You have to let go of the tractor so they can fire at you, as your opponent, meaning.
Right. But remember that they need their power. They launch with their weapons disarmed. They have to they have to use their energy, onboard energy, to charge their weapons.
Okay, but can't they fire on the same, assuming that they had already prepped them while in the hangar bay, can't they still fire that same turn that they launched?
They can fire on the turn they launch. I think there's an 8-impulse delay between when you launch and when you can fire.
That's correct.
Just like any other fighter. Just like any other fighter.
Right.
But, but if you're arming everything, and then you're probably going speed 14.
Right.
Which is actually slower than a Sting 2, but not much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 1 point. One. You know, the Fusion fighters go speed 15.
Yes. I don't think you have four boost packs
on
fighters in tournaments.
No, you do not. That would be really bad.
Yeah. Of course, they get real vulnerable if you did that.
Right, exactly. It gets double damage.
Yeah.
So.
Excuse me.
Okay.
But yeah, Hyrus could be interesting. It's certainly a different take on things.
The fun part about this ship is, in my mind, it better keep its speed up. Just because I'm looking about the number of like phasers. There aren't that many phasers.
No.
Which means
not.
The only way to avoid seeking weapons is going to be speed.
Yes. The PW3s are horrible against seeking weapons.
Yeah.
But the ship is fast and maneuverable, so that helps. 2/3 mover and turn mode A. And basically, free hit, and then the next, then after that hit chance. So it's not like the Orion, which has two hits for free, but it's close to it.
Right. I'll ask if it was nimble. Because that's why the Orion gets two hexes for free, because it's nimble.
Yeah. This is not a nimble ship. But it is just about nimble.
Mm-hmm. That's just interesting. Dang, man. Just rereading, you know, what you already pointed out, which is if you put power on the fighters to speed, you can get those things up pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the problem is, of course,
if you put
fighters have a max acceleration of 7. But good
on that, and the fact that... Okay, let's say I put 4 points of power into movement, and let's say I launch at max speed. I can get her up to speed 30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But with 4 points of power into movement to keep up speed 30, I cannot arm a Sting torpedo. I can arm the phasers, but
yeah.
It basically, I don't... Yeah, it's...
Oh, agreed. It's kind of, at that moment, it's kind of pointless.
Right. Now, if I'm willing to deal with speed 26, I can get a, I can, on turn one, I can arm the phasers, and on turn two, I can arm the Sting torpedo.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. That's one thing I was thinking about, which is the whole idea of launching them at a fast speed for a distant opponent, and then have them close, and then as they close, you know, the start of the, you know, within the next turn, give up on the power for speed and go put the power towards arm the torpedo.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a question that I don't think I remember reading. which was, you know, if the TARPs can be held on the fighters.
Standards can be, not overloads.
Okay. Yeah, because that's just weird. If you think about it, which is actually disgusting, holding and energy things for a fighter.
Oh, I know. But the hivers basically consider their fighters to be small ships, not.
Oh, agreed.
Not fighters.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. That's why I mentioned, you know, how it's kind of like a combination fighter PF.
Yeah. It's somewhere in between. It's less powerful than an interceptor, even, but.
Yeah, oh, geez, I forgot about those suckers. It's one of those ones that I know they exist. I looked at it and
never
went.
Never played them.
I definitely have never played them. But I looked at them, and as was noted in SFU history, they basically were a failed experiment. We said, you know, basically, these are too small. They need to be larger and have more power to make them effective. And then they increased the power and the size to being PF size. Then, you know, things worked out just fine.
Well, that was just because of the way they wrote it. But if you look at the BTVs of them, they might not have been that bad.
Well, if you're doing a BBV versus BBV battle, yeah. I agree there.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the scenarios. I don't remember the scenarios, but I'm willing to bet at least one like historic scenario where they grabbed, you know, they had the interceptors that they were using, you know, that they had tested, you know, and they had to use them in combat, you know, for some defender, or possibly sold into it, you know, as a defend kind of PF for defenders that were relatively cheap.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, because they're larger than the fighters that normally they can only local defense can buy.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you have a tender. And it's like, do you want interceptors or do you want pseudo fighters? I'll take the pseudo fighters.
Oh, agreed.
But, yeah. Oh, well. I'm actually getting exhausted here.
Okay.
I'm going to have to call it a night.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, Barry. In that case, why don't you get some rest, and you'll be here next week.
What race should we talk about next week?
Is there one you want?
Or what empire?
We can go for Yolanda.
Yolanda, yeah, Yolanda? That's a good one.
Yeah, I think that'd be really exciting to do.
Yes, they're actually a traditional enemy of the hivers.
Then, perfect segue.
Yes. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Okay, good night. I'm sorry. I got a little giggly just from up there because I was muting Barry after on the screen. Here he went away. So, yeah, with that, actually, we will wrap it up for this evening. Guys, we'll be able to finally get things started. Hopefully, I can work out, for those people who were hoping to listen in on the YouTube stream, I apologize for not working out the details earlier, and I'm not sure if I could have, just because of that they switched things around with removing Hangouts from YouTube. which I have been relying on for doing a lot YouTube live, and which is going to be interesting to the commenters in the YouTube channel, because I'm sure they'll notice. Hey, well, you know, they mentioned that. Oh yeah, I should be, you know, using YouTube live and have people in chat and all that kind of thing. And the chat no longer exists. You know, I don't think the webcam stuff actually still keeps the chat. I know. Does anyone like YouTube? Actually, Drew, I might actually do something else. I might actually, because also I know I can do this, which is I do have a Twitch channel, so I could actually easily stream this on Twitch, and I think that'd be perfectly fine. I would still probably be co-broadcasting both on TalkShoe and on Twitch. Twitch actually has a chat room, and I can do that too. And I still would. I still got to figure out a conference room. Because the one thing I was thinking about this the other day. I'm not sure if I mentioned it or not. I think I mentioned last week, which is I came to the realization that, oh, if I replace TalkShoe with, you know, say freeconference.com, my understanding is basically TalkShoe uses freeconference.com. So if I leave TalkShoe because of I can't have a hard time dialing in, it's because I can't dial into freeconference.com, which means I shouldn't be using them anyway to replace it with somebody else. You know, because I know people. I'm not sure, Drew, if you know about it. I know Dave and Russ do, because I've mentioned it multiple times, which is one thing I really like is the ability to have people dial in, you know, and actually chat. And not just have like Barry, who in theory, I could have him. We could basically be co-host, and we don't have to worry about that. Now, obviously, the number of people that actually dial in over the years have gone down, and that might get to the point where, you know, it's kind of pointless to actually have people dial in, you know, and call me, and I might just have to have it more like, you know, you have me, and then if Steve Cole wants to join us, I will say, hey, Steve, you want to join us, just tell me. I'll give you a call, and we'll get that all set up, and we can have kind of a co-hosting kind of thing. So we'll just have to wait and see. So I am Paul Franz. With that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.
Recording paused.